Hi, I'm Darina, co-founder of OpenPhone. My dad is a business owner, and growing up, he always kept his ringtone super loud so he'd never miss a customer call. OpenPhone gives your team business phone numbers to call and text all in one shared workspace, and our AI agent answers 24/7 so you never miss a customer. Over 60,000 businesses use OpenPhone. Get 20% off at openphone.com/odyssey. OpenPhone. No missed calls, no missed customers.
They call me Dark Gable.
Excuse me?
That was my nickname I gave myself back in the day. Evan, I like social media.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, Eloke.
There's a couple of things we got to clean up, Goo. Well, really, I'll wear this. Clean up on ILE. So in the 408, the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorneys text line. You guys have got to be crazy. The only James Bond is Sean Connery, without a doubt.
Nah, he was the man,
That's
too.
That's frustration in Santa Clara. Yeah. I'm with you, sir.
Roger Moore for me.
That's an omission. Yeah. It is Connery.
Oh, wow.
Limmer's Bond. James Bond.
I'm going to give you a two. That's pretty damn good.
I got to work on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, clean up on ILE.
Well, I'll do this. There's only two then. Roger Moore. And our guy,
he really liked Roger Moore.
Dude, Octopussy? Oh my God!
He's the original. You also can't.
What?
Some of the things that they're allowed to do in the old James Bonds, you really can't do anymore. So, this is something during the break. We're going to get back into the Giants and the Dodgers in 1 second, but I got to also clean up something. You would spend $10,000 on a belt?
No, during the break, Carter, my younger brother, and my other younger brother,
Carter's got a Rolex.
Well,
I think.
He is the man of San Francisco. I know people. And I was trying to make a purchase, and I had you ever do something where you think it's going to cost this, and then you click it, and it's three times that. So that happened to me during the break, and I just said, I wish I had SGA money. Steph.
70 mil.
Yeah, just like where money don't even matter, whatever the price. So I'm dealing with something inside eternally right now that the shock value of where I had the price and what it was, Evan, bothers me. I want fat pockets. I want to just live my life. Evan, how much you need? 10 racks here.
Yeah, but that's not smart spending. You can't just be cashing out checks every day.
Well, to my loved ones, I would. But the purchase I was trying to make now is on hold. It just reminded me where I'm at in life.
Is it another jersey?
No, like, please. I wish.
There are some things that I would spend a ridiculous amount of money on.
Name one.
Well.
Steiny would say golf clubs.
Yeah, like a cool, like sports memorabilia. Like if there was a framed, signed picture, poster. Like if I could get, how about like the Thrilla in Manila ticket?
Ooh, man.
Like, if I could buy that, I would spend whatever it cost on it, if I had the money. But that's out of my price range.
And that's like, dope, too.
Yeah, like, I would spend money on things that I can't get just anywhere. Like, you can go buy a Gucci belt in
Vegas.
Italy, in Vegas, in Japan. You can go get it wherever you need a belt. But, you know, I'd rather just have a rope string, if I'm going to be honest.
Right, and I wasn't pro Gucci belt. My point was to you and young Carter is America is just so gangster in regard to it can appease every audience. So for the people that want a $20,000 belt, there's a store that has a $20,000 belt. Regardless, if you agree, you and I wouldn't do it. Just like cars, watches, chains, houses, whatever. Some got private jets. You know how much that cost?
No, I don't.
I'm having problems putting gas in the caddy.
And I never will. I'm into spending money on experiences. Like, for example, if I had it like that.
See, that's the, if you had it like
if I had
that.
It like that, I'd be sitting behind home plate tonight for the Giants Dodgers.
In a robe. You'd probably be in a robe. You change so fast. Oh. You don't know yourself. I could see you hair gelled up.
I'd be sitting 50-yard line of the Iron Bowl next year is what I'd be doing.
Hey, Rizzotto flip-flops. Like, what happened to Evan? He got paid, baby.
Oh, I'd be sitting there in my Crocs. I don't even own a pair of Crocs, but I'd buy some just so I could put those tootsies out there.
Oh, boy.
Like, I saw Marlins Man. Do you know who Marlins Man is?
Yeah, he's incredible.
That guy, to me, lives the life. That is a top sports fan in the world.
You're right.
Because he's got it like that. I met him 1 year at Las Vegas, and Marlins. So he was at, I think he was at the Monday Phillies Giants game. There was a guy in a bright Marlins jersey behind home plate. And I met him in Vegas, I don't know, like maybe like 5 years ago. And he's walking around in a bright orange Marlins jersey. And I walk up to him, me and my buddy's like, dude, what are you doing here? He says, oh, well, I'm going to these rodeo championships today. We're like, why? Because I can. And then I'm flying out to this, it was like an ABC basketball game because it was in the wintertime. I'm going out to this primetime basketball game tomorrow to see LeBron. And after that, you know, I might dip over to this baseball game here in Kansas City. And that's just what I do. I make enough money. I get my, you know, I get my residual income, and I just spend it all on experiences. So that's, I think, probably what I would spend stupid money on.
And he loves ball. Like, and I guess, Evan, if I'm right, somebody says he's an attorney, but whatever he's doing, he's living the life, and it looks like he definitely loves ball. And to just see that jersey, that bright orange everywhere. I mean, Evan, we would be here to 2 o'clock if we named every venue or big-time action he was at or event. So that's pretty dope.
Yeah, that guy gets me jealous. That guy gets me jealous. But seriously, I wouldn't be sitting right behind home plate for the Giants and the Dodgers. Speaking of which, Connor in San Leandro has been hanging on patiently, wants to talk about the Giants. Connor, what's going on, man? Good morning. How are you?
Hey, guys. Wasn't that much of patience on my part. That was really fun to listen to about the Gucci belt.
We're anti-Gucci belt. Yeah.
Gucci. I don't know about that.
I think you owe it to the audience. You got to tell everyone about the specific belt so we can all help to judge whether it's worth it. It might be. So listen, guys, I feel like this season, for better or for worse, the San Francisco Giants kind of turn on Willy Adames and on Devers. And look, I'm not trying to, and I hope this makes, this is taken as tongue in cheek. I'm not trying to, you know, shout out to Atco Pest Control. I'm not trying to put a rat on the table, but Pat Bailey's incredible, Little League in the park home run, it came after Adames didn't show up in the clutch. And, you know, I think what sports radio has been talking about with Adames is, oh, he's finally getting into gear. He's finally coming into his own. He's no longer the new kid in class, right? But, you know, these ribbies, we thought that he was going to, you know, really drive in some runs. And in the clutch at home at a moment that it was time to do it, he left it to the bottom part of the lineup when he really should have been the one to come through in the clutch this week. And then we had, you know, the biggest loss of the season. I wonder about Devers. You know, I remember all the conversations around Trey Lance. And I don't want to make the comparison that much, but the way that sports radio treated Trey Lance is like, he's this great prospect, and let's give him time, and let's not be overly critical. Let's not put rats on the table about him. I get that with Devers. Like, he's a unique guy. But we really don't have a profile of either of these guys. And our franchise, I think, turns on both of them. So, like, after this matchup with the Dodgers, I'm hoping that they don't use this as a get-right series. That would be terrible. I'm hoping it lives up to the hype. I'm really, really excited about, you know, what we could do. But if it turns out that we get swept, I think we need to push the conversation forward about what's going on with Adames and what's going on with Rafi Devers, and will they figure it out this season? So thanks for letting me say all that. And hopefully our conversation publicly around all this stuff, we all up our game after this series and see what we really got.
Mm. Thanks for the call.
Appreciate the call, Connor. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the last time that the Dodgers and the Giants met was literally, you know, when Devers got traded.
Yeah.
But they had just begun to come out of a tailspin. The Dodgers weren't playing great baseball. I think they won the series prior, but before that, they had lost 5 of 6.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Darina, co-founder of OpenPhone. My dad is a business owner, and growing up, he always kept his ringtone super loud so he'd never miss a customer call. OpenPhone gives your team business phone numbers to call and text all in one shared workspace, and our AI agent answers 24/7 so you never miss a customer. Over 60,000 businesses use OpenPhone. Get 20% off at openphone.com/odyssey. OpenPhone. No missed calls, no missed customers.
It's baseball, 162. Every team goes through it.
100%. They've lost 6 in a row. There's no way the Giants can get swept in this series. Now, obviously, there literally is a way.
I feel you, E.
But to me, that would be an unacceptable
outcome. No doubt. And that would be a disappointing. That would constitute, for me, whatever you're at in the trade, that would be a disappointing way to end the first half if that were to happen, especially with what you just said, Nicola, them coming in limping.
Well, it's not just because they're coming in limping, but it's like that's the team you're chasing right now. And these games are important. I mean, you got the Padres on your tails and the wild card. There's a lot of good teams in the NL.
Yeah.
You know, the AL is much weaker this year than the NL is, and that's what the Giants are also fighting against. But, you know, I don't expect the Giants to catch the Dodgers. The Dodgers, I think, even with their six-game slider, still on a 95-win pace.
So this kind of house money, the fact that they're it's early. You're still on the Dodgers bumper because I didn't have them winning the division either.
No, I mean, I think they are kind of limping into the break a little bit. And that was something that I told you and Steiny I was keeping an eye on entering this week. Even though the Giants hadn't been playing great, you know, over the 20 games that Devers has been here, I thought this was a chance to clean up against two teams that have their eyes set on vacation. Like, the All-Star break is a place where, kind of like the NBA All-Star week, a lot of players are just looking forward to getting away. Like, they've busted their asses for the first few months of the season, for the first half, these 94 games that they've played, and they're just looking to get some sunshine, get to the beach, see their families who they haven't seen in a long time. And the Dodgers, who are in first place, don't really have anything to be afraid of right now. That's why I think this is an opportunity for the Giants, and why I also feel like it's a bigger series for them. So if you got swept, That's an unacceptable outcome. We're coming in on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday after the All-Star game when Steiny's back, and that would take all air out of the Giants' sails. And they have been playing a lot better. Like, I thought the series victory against the Phillies was impressive, and to have maybe the best moment in recent memory in terms of Bailey's inside the park walk-off.
Never forget it.
It would kind of mar that.
Yeah, Evan, I'm with you. And you think of that Bailey moment, what was right before that was the ale. You know, fan is short for fanatic. I don't know if you've seen the video making the rounds, but I'm not calling anybody out. But a lot of Giant fans were headed toward the, you know, trying to get to the car thinking, you know, we got the bottom of the lineup down two. We've scored one in eight innings. What makes you think we're going to get two to tie and three to win? You did. But you talk about the Dodgers, because I was curious when you said that to Steiny and I about them looking forward to the All-Star break. Evan, half their team's going, I'm having fun, is headed to the All-Star game, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not like a lot of guys are going to, you know, Puerto Rico or whatnot. They still got to go through the dog and pony show of the All-Star game. But I get what you're saying. It's a long haul. It's a grind. Who's the pitcher? The lefty that was, he hadn't even pitched yet. So I just think
Snell,
like that, they just got him in the icebox waiting to do damage. But Evan, 2 of 3, I feel like captures the good first half that the Giants had. Then if you want to get crazy, drunk and in love, just focus on Buster Posey delivering Christmas early with Devers and what that is eventually going to be. You feel like the Giants got major action.
For sure, and that's why it's, you know, this series in and of itself, like, it's three games. It's probably not going to make or break your season.
Unless you get swept either way.
Well, but I think it's a barometer series. Like, you're measuring yourself against the top dogs. And I think the Giants are a good, but if they got swept, like, that would seriously change how I look at this team. Because I think they're a playoff team. I think they can get in, but if you just get dog walked by the Dodgers, that does something for me. Conversely, if the Giants win this series or potentially sweep, maybe you can't rob them of that. That would give me a ton of confidence.
And what would it do for them? You know, the players, and you start the second half in Toronto, but you'd be feeling goody.
You would, and I think that this
Toronto playing pretty good ball.
Well, that's maybe, you know, been one of the more underappreciated parts about this Giants team. I think they are pretty even keel. Like, we've seen them go up. You know, they had the six games in a row they won by one run, and then we've seen them hit some lulls, got swept by the Marlins, lost to the White Sox. But I don't sense that this team has really any panic in them. But the rivalry games are different. Like, when you're playing your division, you do have to find a way to, I think, break even in these kinds of games, because you're going to see the Dodgers a lot in the second half. I think this is only the second series they played against them. You still got games left against the Padres, against the Diamondbacks,
yeah,
who are pretty good. And even though the Giants split with them down in AZ, like, these rivalry games and division games, I think I do take a little more stock from them, even though baseball, to your point, is 162.
Yeah, and that's why we're going to get to the park as early as we possibly can, to just soak in all that ambiance and the euphoria and the hope, Evan, that you can, with your ace on the mound, what better way to kind of send a message for the series? And like you said, it's only three games, but if Logan Webb handles business, dominates, you get that win. Again, you're not playing with house money, but tomorrow you go out there, try to steal that game. Now the Dodgers have lost eight in a row, looking around like, okay, not that they're shook, but Evan, that would go a long way for those 4 days off and everybody that's not in the All-Star game to heal, but mentally be like, we got action.
But that's another component of this also, is the Giants have stacked their top three starters against the Dodgers. The Dodgers are quietly using tomorrow as a rehab game. You know, Shohei Ohtani is only going to throw a couple of innings because he can't go in rehab and go on the minor league circuit like players who are coming back from injury typically do. Let's get out to San Francisco. We're in San Francisco. And talk to Daniel. Wants to maybe right a little bit of a wrong here. Daniel, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, good morning. Can you hear me all right?
Yep.
What do you got?
Hey, it's a real pleasure to talk to you guys. Really appreciate the show. Goo, longtime listener, first-time caller, big fan. Evan, you're doing an awesome job filling in, so thank you both.
Thanks.
Right on.
Hey, big Giants fan, lunatic fringe, diehard fanatic, watching every game.
Nice.
I was there for Bailey's walk-off inside. I got some late good seats because you're right. The fandom is not at a high, high level. It's at a really good level. The real Giants fans are out there representing, but they're not selling out every game like they were in the 2010s. We know it. But the fandom is there and it is strong. People were leaving. Sure, you're always going to have people leaving. This isn't Fenway and Wrigley and stuff like that. But the fandom was there. The place was on fire. It was electric. The whole building blew up. I don't know if you guys were there, but the energy was amazing. And you probably hear it on the call. So, you know, I just wanted to dispel that the fans aren't there for real.
I got you, Daniel. Appreciate the call, man. No, I was there on Monday. It was a really good crowd on Monday. I think there was 40,000+, and obviously they all erupted for the Bailey thing. What do you like when I say Giants Dodgers? What moment kind of stands out to you, like that you remember between these two teams?
I'm gonna go recent. The Wilmer Flores check swing that lost the series. Here in San Francisco, and Shasky and Bonte doing the roast in the morning, and Shasky running down Embarcadero, and just how Gabe Kapler, who was a, you know, punching bag for a lot of people, was the skipper of a team that didn't have what the Dodgers have at their disposal in regard to bats. They just came out of nowhere and won 107. And Evan, that was magical. The more I think about it, and it's just, it sucks that it had to end that soon and against that team. But that game to me, what was it? Wade hit the home run that went foul.
Yeah.
Just like those are the things that, like, man, what could have been, I guess?
I'm with you. Yeah, I mean, this is from the 408 and the Boxer and Gerson work injury series text line.
Yeah.
Brian Johnson walk off.
Oh, good call. You know,
for me, it is
the
matchup between Gagne and Bonds. I think that's probably one that stands out to me the most.
Not Gagne, not Eric Gagne.
Well, he gagged that fastball.
Yeah,
Bonds put it in the seats.
Gagne. Yeah.
But it's funny because I saw yesterday Barry Bonds sat down with Dwayne Kuiper and actually broke down the at bat. And I want to play it for you because I think it's one of the cooler pieces of sound I've heard. And I'd listen to Barry Bonds talk about hitting any day of the week. Here it is.
The showdown in 2004 with you and Eric Gagne.
I said, you know, you're the most dominant. You are the dominant. Not most. You are the dominant pitcher. If you have no chance of losing, quit throwing me that rinky-dink curveball and all the other stuff. Come at me. You throw 104 miles an hour. Challenge me. Let's go mano a mano. I thought he broke my rib cage. He came in tight, and that was like 101. When he cut me inside, I was like, oh, no.
So at some point, you knew it was on.
I knew it was on. Now, you'll see me stare him down going, that wasn't the deal, brother. Okay, but if you want to play the game, we're going to play the game. I just wanted to send them a message. Don't do that.
And everybody knows it's on now.
Nobody knows but me and him. I wish everyone knew, but nobody knew but me and him. And my dad always told me that if a guy throws that hard, send him a message and pull it very, very foul, far foul, and I guarantee you the next pitch is away. And Gagne threw the next ball away, and I put it in center field.
Center field, hit low. This baby's going to go out of here. At 100 miles per hour.
Wow.
He thought maybe I sped my bat up at that moment so he could go away. But I was a little bit smarter at that moment.
So I'm assuming that you guys ran into each other after that.
The next time I faced him, he intentionally walked me. And so I was sitting in Dodger Stadium going, let's go. He looked at the mound and goes, nah, we ain't playing that this time. And he intentionally walked me.
We did that once.
He said, we did that once. That game is over. So it was kind of funny.
And I just feel like... I'm Luke Skywalker, and Obi-Wan Kenobi just talked hitting to me. That was incredible, man. That was incredible. I thought he broke my rib cage. Like, that wasn't a deal. And then the sound of him hitting it, just, like, that's incredible, man.
Yeah.
Great job by both. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great interview. And you can go check it on the Giants' social media pages. But
Barry.
It put me down a little bit of a rabbit hole because I was trying to figure out. So, like, Bonds was 5-for-17 career against Gagne.
Okay.
And that was the intentional walk he mentioned was one of four that Gagne walked him. That was the only home run he ever hit off of Gagne. So I'm like, well, which other great pitchers did Bonds? Like, did anybody have success against Bonds? Anybody? And the answer is, after 1998, not really.
Like, wow, man. I was just about to break. I was going there because I remember the Braves had the Pirates number in those playoff series. Maddux?
Bonds hit .284 career off of Smoltz.
Well, that's damn good.
With 8 home runs. That's tied for the most he ever hit off a guy.
Okay.
The other dude, there are two other guys. One's Curt Schilling, who he hit .265 off of with 1,000 OPS. And Greg Maddux is the other one. And the guy that he wore out was Tom Glavine. Like, I'm looking at all of these great pitchers, and anybody beyond 98, you know, when things might have started to go Bonds' way.
You got to.
Nobody could get this dude out. Like, his batting average and power numbers against everybody were ridiculous.
No, it's...
Like, the closest guy that I could find is a dude named John Lieber. He was a pretty decent pitcher back in the day. Bonds only got 8 hits off him. He hit .190. But 5 of those hits were home runs.
Damn.
So I can't even be mad about that because when he got him, he got him. Like, Dennis Martinez pitched against Bonds early in his career. El Presidente did pretty well against him. Oral Hershiser did pretty well against Bonds. But that was all early in his career. Once Bonds became Bonds and started rolling in the prime of his career.
I got you.
There's no pitcher that had success against him.
And that's why he's a home run king, man.
I mean, it's
70 plus home runs in a season, man. Now, Evan, I watched every one. Just that was appointment TV, man. Just imagine that. Well, I mean, man, that was it. Just hearing them break it down.
Risotto,
my dad told me when a guy throws that hard, it comes in, the next pitch is going to be outside. Away. Like, I get it.
That's like, why damn. He got right on the plate. It's incredible.
Man.
He hit .306 off of Randy Johnson. That's from Steve Risotto. He hit .323 off of Dwight Gooden. Like, all of these great pitchers. And you're right, from the 510, you can't ignore what happened there with Bonds, but
one of my favorite pitchers is Doc Gooden.
The guy was unbelievable. Yep. All right, 30 minutes away from Nick Hamilton, SiriusXM.
Barry!
Going to chat with him about the series, get you ready. We do have to dive into the NBA, and I think on the other side we're going to do just that. A reminder that what is coming up in the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Infurstein with Goo. We're back after this.
Hi, I'm Darina, co-founder of OpenPhone. My dad is a business owner, and growing up, he always kept his ringtone super loud so he'd never miss a customer call. OpenPhone gives your team business phone numbers to call and text all in one shared workspace, and our AI agent answers 24/7 so you never miss a customer. Over 60,000 businesses use OpenPhone. Get 20% off at openphone.com/odyssey. OpenPhone. No missed calls, no missed customers.